going to be authorized with full spending.
Because I don't know why, when the meeting is starting at 10 o'clock, the tea comes at 11 o'clock. I really do not know. But welcome to everybody. And can the PMG close the meeting, the door? Is the secretary of the committee around? Maybe we'll ask Mema Libenya to take the minutes of the committee.
I don't mind if I would get something.
No, you will. An increase. We'll get an increase then on top of the 5%. Yes. Honourable members, if people in Parliament do not know where committee room number one, and they go elsewhere and put the tea there, then it means other people who are visitors might be lost in this institution. So we're requesting that members and visitors could please quickly get tea there, and then. Yeah, let's pray for people 10 minutes. Yeah, complete honourable members, once more, good morning, and the visitors, Chavu, Dr. Mzangwa, and the complete secretary, deputy chair, okay. Thanks for coming, and Nas Buata and gentlemen, thanks for coming, and you honourable members, thanks for honouring today's meeting. But it started with a low note. Maybe you are on a Christmas mood. Usually, we don't start with such a low note. 15 minutes behind schedule, it's not correct. We must start the meeting on time so that we finish on time. So 15 minutes really is not impressive. But honourable members, before we start with the program for today, there were some committee reshuffle and cabinet reshuffle. So in that process, there were many of people affected, and then we were also a committee that has been affected. You know that in the presiding officers, there are two chairs who have left, Robert Papela, now the Deputy Minister for Communication, and then Mam Oliphant, she is now the Minister for Labour. So there were vacancies that were there, and also with the chairs. There are 17 chairs that has been reshuffled, 17. So the committee has been affected. We want to congratulate Comrade Cedric, who is the whip of this committee. He is now one of the presiding officers there. He has been given the position of being the chair of the chairs. So all chairs and presiding officers, and then Cedric is now the chair of the entire parliament committees. So a lot of work that he's doing there. But we congratulate him. So we met and discussed with the chief whip and also with the chair of chairs. For purposes of us up until January, when we come back, when the whip would be announced, Comrade Cora is going to be an acting whip up until we have a whip of the committee. So the DA is not going to put another acting whip, but then there is only one acting whip next to the DA, so there will be no other, let alone EIFP. EIFP on Ngege and the Lord is Magazine Journal. So No, you'll hear later. I'm talking about Masibagi. So that is what is going on there. And then, unfortunately for you, I have not been affected too. They said that I must continue with the sport and complete my 14 years, in fact, as the chair of this committee. So I think I'll be the person who stayed in a committee for a long time, because others just stayed, even not 5 years. So at the end of this term, I'll be 14 years as the chair of the Sports and Recreation. So thanks to the ANC. It has disappointed Donald Lee by nominating me again to remain where I am. But I'll give over to Donald Lee, Mackenzie, and Mima Libenya, just to say one or two in congratulating Comrade Cedric.
No, I don't want to congratulate Mr. Frolic. I just want to say to you, Chairperson, you said that I was disappointed. In fact, I advised them to keep you, Chairperson, that you are still there. No, Chairperson, the thing that I always say about you, and it is something that I respect, is that you see this party, I mean this parliament, and this committee, as a multi-party institution, and you respect it as such, Chairperson. And therefore, I really want to congratulate you. I think that's what I tell all people. If they want to see an example of how things should be done in parliament, in a multi-party sort of a way, then they must come to the board. Thanks and congratulations to you, Chairperson.
Thanks very much, Billy. Congress of the People.
Chairperson, thank you. I'd like to echo Donald's sentiment. And I think that before we talk about Cedric, just to also say that the continuity that we've got of 14 or 15 years is fantastic. And I think we saw in the World Cup that this committee was probably the most unified, and probably unified Parliament more than it has ever been unified. So I just want to say well done, and well done on your leadership, and we look forward to working with you going forward. To Kota, well done on his
No.
But, you're still acting. And then finally, just on Cedric, well done to him. He's got a very, very big task, but I think he's a capable man, so good luck to him, and we extend our full congratulations to him as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Graham. Mima Libenya, the IFP. Can you switch off your mic, Graham?
I was beginning to think that my gadget is not working, Chair.
No, you're saying it's not working.
thank you, Chair. Well, as a person who is new in this committee, I think I won't really have much to say except to say I've been made to feel as part of this committee, and I enjoy being part of it through your leadership, of course, Chairperson. In congratulating Comrade Cedric, well, I'm sure we're all excited and happy for him, and we have no doubt that he will, live up to the task given to him. As long as Chairperson, I just wish he was here so that we tell him, as long as he doesn't forget that this committee comes first whenever he takes decisions. with those few words, thanks, Chairperson. And I think another member of this committee also got promoted to be a chairperson of a portfolio committee, Comrade Utandile. We congratulate her, and as a young person in particular, I'm even happier for her, for that responsibility that has been given. Thank you, Chair.
No, thanks, Member Lee. We were forgotten that Donald Lee's friend, she was an alternate in the committee, Tandile Sunduza. She's now chairing Arts and Culture. Congratulations to her, too. And then, and Donald Lee is going to miss her a lot. Honourable members, those members will be here with us up until lunchtime. There's a fitting lunch arranged for us on the second floor on the new wing there, and then it will also be the last supper probably with the chair of chairs and all of you to say goodbye to everybody to go and rest. We'll meet next year towards the election and meet a lot of work that we have to do. There's a budget, there's many things that is going to happen next year that is going to, and there's this Argentina and United Kingdom study tour on school sport, so we have our hands full. And then I learned that that application has been signed. So the first thing that we must work on now, those who don't have this official passport for members of parliament must start doing them, because you will be required a visa when you arrive in the United Kingdom and in Argentina. So yeah, Argentina are going to be received by... no, please. The ambassador of South Africa there, and then I hope it's not the DA, it's Tony Leon. Tony Leon is going to receive us when you arrive in Argentina there. Thank you very much. Hey, thanks, honorable members. Thanks very much. Honorable members, the meeting that we have today with the honorable mayor of Maludiapofu from my home province, and Mr. Chavu, I would like to put on record today that we have received as a committee the two petitions. My little constitution is not here. A petition is people who write to the Speaker of the National Assembly for a matter that is affecting those people. So a church called Tirano, Kappa Tiran, has written a petition to the Speaker of the National Assembly. The Speaker of the National Assembly referred that petition to the committee in terms of the constitution, that the committee must interact with that petition to find out what is going on in that matter. Then the second group of people who put the petition is the supporters of a team somewhere in the Free State. It's not a team that has put that petition. It's the supporters of the team. So we're sitting with two petitions that the committee has to handle. Then we wrote a letter to the Honorable Mayor that would like to meet them, and then he responded that they will be coming. But unfortunately, the date that we have given to the Honorable Mayor was the date that was coinciding with the president arriving in that region, Thabo Mfutsenyane, especially where Dr. Mzawa is the mayor. Then he wrote back and requested that it's coinciding with the visit of the president, and it's at the center of everything there. Then the committee agreed that the meeting be postponed for this week. And last week, before we left, we received a letter that comes from the other party that is affected, that they will not be in a position to come. And then I said, but it is fair. If we were given the Maludiapofu a privilege that they are having some challenges that they must not come, we must also grant the Free State staff an opportunity also that they must do whatever they want to do, and then they will come as all parties. We also received a letter from the HOD of the Public Works in the Free State, because you know, all of you, that all the stadiums that are existing in the country belongs to Public Works and Sports and Recreation. We write a service level agreement with the municipalities around the usage of those in the facility is handed over to municipalities. I will not dwell on this matter too much. Now, Pori didn't inform the Honorable Mayor and the entourage that the meeting is postponed because the HOD and the club are not going to be able to come. And I asked him twice that, did you inform these people? And then yesterday, when I jumped in the flight on my way here, learned got a call from him when I called him, and then he got a call from the honorable mayor's office that the mayor is landing at 4. Then I said, Pori, have you not informed them that the meeting is called off? Pori said that he has informed, so that you must bring the document to prove that it has been informed. Unfortunately for Pori, could not bring any proof that he has informed them. It means Pori didn't inform them. And I told Pori 2 times that he must inform in town before they even they buy tickets, so that they must not get a loss. Now they have spent a lot of money, and then and the other party is not here, but we have, we'll get this matter over to you, honourable members, for a decision. Now, that decision is going to impact on the committee. If the meeting goes on, fine. But this meeting, if it goes on, it will be a gossip type of a meeting, because the other parties are not going to be here, so that we prove to them what process they should take in resolving this matter. The sharks also is part of the problems that are existing there, and the Honorable Lee revealed this morning that Vasco da Gama and the city of Cape Town have a problem. We must take a decision as this committee as soon as we come back about these facilities. And I am of the view that, honorable members, those facilities must come back to sports, because we are going to have endless types of meetings around those issues, which is not right. Unless we call all other provinces, Donald, your MEC here, and then we must stop killing Vasco da Gama, and then we must discuss on how the whole matters are going to be handled, and the study France, but it has pulled out everybody, and then try to handle this matter in a better and a professional way. But I want to give over to you about this matter and find out how can we deal with this matter. But dealing this matter, honourable members, in postponing this meeting, it means Pori must make sure that the cost incurred by the municipalities are borne by this committee, or we must do something around that, because it can never be correct that people come here on fruitless. They are going to get an audit quiz immediately and say that, were you in that meeting, but this meeting didn't go on, and immediately they are going to have a fruitless expenditure and wasteful expenditure, and then on their side, because of the committee secretary who is irresponsible. I don't agree with that. Well,
no, thank you, Chair. I think, Chair, there is no way that you can continue with the meeting with the mayor and his delegation. Because, as you correctly said, that we need all parties to be present so as to get to a solution to the impasse. And I want to agree that the committee must take full responsibility to incur the cost of the municipality. We need to postpone and get all parties to be present. And I think Gopore will have to explain wherever he explains why he feels in terms of his duties. Yeah.
Donnelly?
Chairperson, you know, I received an agenda, and on this agenda there's only one item. It says, the progress report on challenges facing the Hall of Fame. In other words, nice work on them. So I received an agenda with just one item on it. That's the first point. Second point, Chairperson, I really want to apologize to the gentleman. You know, it will look from the outside, and perhaps from your office, and you have reason to then say we are very unprofessional. The Chairperson has explained, and I accept that explanation. Because we believe in talking to people together, not sort of skinnering, as they say in Afrikaans, you understand? We want everybody present here, and I'm really, really saddened by the fact that you spent money and that now, you know, it's useless expenditure. So therefore, one, and then the other thing, Chairperson, you know, I think we must deal with the secretary, you know, secretary from this meeting. And quietly, I will see.
situation. And that, but again, thanks for being here. But I'm really, really sorry for what has happened.
Chairperson, I agree with my colleagues on both counts. But there's something I must say to you, Chairperson. You know that the election where these gentlemen come from and the Honourable Mayor comes from is going to be very, very tight. And I want to make sure in that audit report that wasteful expenditure remains there so we have a nice election slogan to work on. But no, jokes aside, gentlemen, sorry about that, but we cannot have this meeting in isolation, I believe. Thank you.
Okay, Member Lin.
Thank you, Chairperson. Well, I want to concur with the sentiments expressed by my colleagues. We are very sorry, but we feel very sorry, really. I'm sure you understand the dilemma that we find ourselves in, but I want to support what my colleagues have already said. Thank you, Chair.
Comrade Nzawa and Chabu, we want to apologize for what has happened. But sincerely, when Donald Lee received the amended agenda, it was informed by the request that these people are not coming. For all other things that the committee secretary really could forget such a major thing as this left us in an embarrassment situation. And then we want to apologize to Abu Chabu and sincerely. But in the next meeting when we call you, and then Corey will make sure that all arrangements and other things, and then even the accommodation that you spend on for nothing, and then the committee would have to arrange for those in the compensation of the loss that we have incurred. We want to apologize, and then we want to appreciate also your coming to the committee. So unfortunately, the decision of the committee that they does not have one-sided meeting, it's a correct meeting, so that whatever resolution direction we take here, somebody must not say no, I didn't hear, somebody must say, no, I have heard. It must be an inclusive one, and the one that is going to take a progressive step forward. Thank you very much. We can release it. Yes,
it's fine, Chairperson. You know, I would suggest that we write a letter to the municipality and apologize.
We will do that, and then as soon as we are out here, the letter will go and go to the council, to the mayor, and apologize on our behalf. Thank you very much. Thank you. Nas Buerta, we want to hear. Nas, the committee took a decision that we must come and hear the progress the Hall of Fame has made in honoring the sports persons and personalities and administrators in this country. It has come out of that because some members of the committee, by not of their own choice, Nancy didn't popularize the Hall of Fame in a manner that any other person coming from anywhere must know that there is a Hall of Fame elsewhere. I think you have to increase your popularity and the issue that people must know very much about the Hall of Fame. So then the member said, we must call you so that we must find out how far are you. And one of the things that was there is that initially when you came here and present your concept of the Hall of Fame, which was agreed by the Portfolio Committee and the Ministry, and then the Hall of Fame would have taken a position of having its headquarters at the NYSNA. And the other provinces, all nine provinces, there will be a satellite of a Hall of Fame or a replica of what is going on in a major center in NYSNA. So maybe in the run-up of things, there are changes, there are issues that you want to highlight to us so that you must be on the same wavelength with you. Because I do not want myself and Donald Lee
and Frederick to have a monopoly of knowing about the Hall of Fame, and other people do not know of this Hall of Fame and all of that. And members are going to ask questions about it, and then clarity, I think you have to give them a clarity. But one thing that I want to raise to you, in the celebration for 150 years of the arrival of the Indian people in this country, Terra Licota reminded us very crudely last week, and then I felt thankful when he reminded us. He reminded us in a crude way, but he was speaking like a member of the African National Congress when he was speaking there. You could not get the distinction. Suka have seen him when he spoke there. There was a guy called the Papua, who was an Indian golfer. Terrell Cotter says, when he puts it in a very crude way, this man was so powerful that he played a competition with Gary Player and beat Gary Player. But Gary Player was honored by an apartheid government, and the democratic government up until now has not honored that power. And what kind of a government are we? So we're putting this to you, Nasput, that in a process of dealing all these other things around the Hall of Fame, have a trace of where is this family of this Papua, and then everybody, and then I think in your process of doing the honor of all these legends, you must be one of the people that you take note that apartheid has made this Papua, after he has won the trophy, because there was an apartheid that time, he could not go inside to go and receive the trophy. It was raining, we're told, that they had to take an umbrella and put him under umbrella, and the trophy came out of the function, and they went to him with the trophy in the rain and gave him the trophy outside there. He was never given accolades and in accordance that he's the winner of that trophy. So was diabolic and cruel apartheid one at that time. So that Papa, today, nobody sings about him. But Terra says we sing about a person who's honored by an apartheid and making him a hero. The person who was never a hero but a villain in his own country of slavery. Papa was never honored. And I think we must do something around that. And it is something that has struck me, so that in the celebration for this 150 years of the Indian arrival in this country, one thing that we have to do is not to castigate a general South African citizen, but those who were on the receiving end. Now, we must begin to go to them and profile them and say, yes, we acknowledge what they have done in spite of the challenges that were there. I think Papa was playing in an open field, you know, proper holes were there and all that, but... Yes, in the open field. But when he was given an opportunity to go and contest in a formal setup, he outclassed everybody who had an opportunity to go and practice in a formal setup. And people are saying three times, not even once. He beat them three times. So he was a legend, because he would say it was a fluke for the first time. But for the second time, it can't be a fluke. And for the third time, it can't be fruit. It means this person was a man of his own class. And therefore, we need to say, this Indian unsung hero called Papua, really, we have to honor him and the family and say, thank you for the country to produce that kind of a person. Now, we're putting up to you as when you discuss. You want to say something?
Is it now our opportunity, Mr. Chairperson?
Yes, no.
Okay. Firstly, I would like to say thank you very much for the opportunity to come and address the U.S. Chairperson and the committee on the progress of the Hall of Fame. Secondly, we will also send our invoice for the tickets, seeing that you're all flying us down here. So I think it's a cost that's worth it.
Don't take chance now. We need to pay.
Mr. Chairperson, firstly on Papua, when we came to Parliament, and that's quite a while ago now, we actually put forward to Parliament that what we would like to do is to go back to 1885 and preserve our history of sport in this country. Because if you look at the individuals up till today, from day one, even in most difficult periods in the apartheid era, and people that never had the opportunity to excel in their sport, that's what we put on the table then, to make sure that we do honor those people. And up till now, David King will take you through the progress of the development side a little bit more, but I'm just going to sit 2 minutes on the Hall of Fame as such. Up till now, we had three functions, inducting 143 Hall of Famers to date, past and present. And just for a little bit of interest, our first world champion was in 1898. A lot of people don't know that, and that's why we came and we present to Parliament to say we need a vehicle to make sure that we preserve that kind of history. And that's why the Hall of Fame idea was then started. The little bit of history on Papua. Papua was inducted into the South African Sports Hall of Fame. So I'm one up on the committee to say that it just shows you that we did our work properly. He had an extraordinary sort of golfing career, and that just in a way explaining why we're doing what we're doing is to make sure that the rest of South Africa firstly know a little bit more of Papua as a golfer, and secondly that for the rich history that nobody will ever forget that. In 40 years time it's going to be even more important if we tell those stories, and that's why the Hall of Fame is actually the whole idea of the Hall of Fame actually started. As I mentioned, 143 Hall of Famers up to date. It's coming from all spheres of life. It's sportsmen, women, contributors. And the whole idea behind this is whoever contributed. Now, seeing that yourself, Mr. Chairperson, is 14 years chairperson of this committee, we might consider it. We might consider it in future. We might consider it. Maybe we should say 20 years is minimum. So you'll have to stick around for another 6 years. But all I'm saying is, we're looking at every person that contributed to make sport a better sport in this country. Black, white, Indian, it doesn't matter. It's all about what you contributed, okay? And we do have even one politician, Minister Steve Tshwete, because according to research, they regard him as the better Minister of Sport, so he was honest. And A. Danny Yordan, because of the World Cup that he brought to the table, and so many others. But I think what David's going to put on the table, and I would then stress a little bit of support from this committee, that we can actually get to the point where we can establish now the Hall of Fame, because it's been 6-7 years now running, and a little bit of a hiccup in Nyasa because of, and David will go through that, and more importantly, there was never a better time for the Hall of Fame actually to start as now, especially after the fantastic World Cup we had, and everything else contributing, except the game last week at Springboks against Scotland, but everybody else actually contributed to a little bit of a rich history up till now. So I'm just going to give to David King now to just take you through a little bit of a presentation, and then after that we definitely open for questions.
Thanks, we didn't know that, but the information of the name that we have inducted for the Hall of Fame will be important for us, for information, so that when we speak, we know that at least those people have been inducted and their names are engraved in that plaque for the Hall of Fame. So I'm sure if you have not have those names now, when you arrive in your office,
just send the names with the email, and then we'll distribute them, and then we'll have those names. Thank you.
Mr. Chairperson, if you can excuse me for 5 minutes, I can actually have that here in the next 20 minutes, and it's much easier to then go through it, as long as David then go through the presentation.
David, you go on, and then you can
go. I'll just excuse me for 10 minutes, please.
Yeah. David, you can present in the meantime.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for affording us this opportunity to give you this update. As NAS has correctly outlined, this really is an enshrinement of every South African that has made a contribution to sport. And I'm going to jump a little bit ahead in my presentation, if you don't mind, just so that we've got a very clear understanding of where we're going. One of the things when we presented to this committee some time ago was some guidance from the committee basically saying that we should make this a national monument. In other words, we need representation, as Mr. Chairman correctly said, around the country. And one of the other things that we realized that we really had to do was we needed to include art into the Hall of Fame. So what you'll see in our presentation, that the Sasolhoff Charter there, the simple change that we made was instead of being the South African Sports Hall of Fame, it's now the South African Sports and Arts Hall of Fame. Now, we have a very rich and diverse history of arts in this country. It's easy to recognize certain contributors in art. The one that would spring to mind is somebody like Charlize Theron, who's won an Oscar. But think of the Ladysmith Black Mambazos, you know, those kind of contributors that have given us an international presence. So the thinking here is we need to incorporate that into what we're doing. Now, I know this committee is specifically, you know, sports and recreation, but art becomes a very, very, very important contribution to what we're trying to achieve in remembering these. Just to give you a little bit of the background, as you correctly said, the project started out in Knysna, and the Knysna River Reserve was actually identified as the site where we were going to build the Hall of Fame, and we went to government and applied for the permissioning to do it. Now, we had several difficulties in Knysna for just pure logistical reasons. If you think about the location of Knysna, getting people into George and then from George into the actual Knysna area to participate in sport, it logistically was quite difficult. We also had a very, very difficult time with government. And if you go to page 4 of this presentation, I just want to go through this just so that, and we're looking for some help here from this committee. What happened when permission was asked for way back in 2005. And I just want to read to you here what transpired with the administration at the time. The project as a whole, with no amendments or reductions required, received a positive record of decision in terms of the Environmental Conservation Act from the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism in March 2006. There was an appeal by one individual and two organizations against this decision. They appealed on a specific and limited ground. The ROD that was requested was curtailed and made the project economically unviable. Okay. On February the 12th, 2008, now the project has been on the go for several years already at this point. The MEC for Environmental Affairs and Development Planning took a decision to approve the project, but on an extremely limited basis. What they in effect did is they reduced the project by half. So the investment that we had to make into Knysna became economically unsustainable. We've subsequently pushed on and tried to, you know, get this through, and we're asking the committee to help us because Knysna is in a position to go ahead now. The decision that we're looking for to take with you today and to get your approval is we've got a wonderful opportunity to move the Hall of Fame or create a component of it in Gauteng. Now, the reason Gauteng becomes attractive is because of the sheer population in Gauteng, and the wish to try and create a regional geographic representation of the Hall of Fame in all 9 provinces. Now, like I said, Knysna is ready to go. We'll curtail the sports side of it to more limited to water sports down in the Knysna area with what was originally planned in that area. Now, the papers on the High Court basically that were lodged said that there were some technical errors, including the fact that 2 hotels had been approved and we only had applied for 1 originally. And more importantly, the approval approves a project that has not been applied for and has not been assessed in terms of the environmental legislation. There's no possibility that the positive impact associated with the full project could be achieved with approval that has been granted, and therefore there's no likelihood that the project could be financially sustainable. So we're looking to get the committee to help us with the MEC and in the Western Cape to get those correct approvals in place so that we can actually start this process. It is several years down the line. It's a significant project that's going to generate significant jobs and income generation for the province. So we'd like your help there. And then we'd like some guidance from this committee. We've got two opportunities in Gauteng that we'd like to consider. One is basically just north of O.R. Tambo is a golfing estate called Serengeti Golf and Wildlife Estate. They have offered for us to go onto their premises and build the Hall of Fame and the sporting precinct with it around there. This obviously is very attractive from its proximity to the airport. It's 10 minutes north of the airport, so it makes it very affordable for participants from around the country and their parents to actually attend sporting events, and it's easily accessible. Now, the second thing that's come onto the table, and this literally has happened in the last week, is the Soccer City Precinct in Orlando, Soweto, has come to us. They've spoken to us in terms of their vision for creating an entire precinct around Soccer City in terms of what they're trying to invest into that area to uplift the entire area and make it a hub for sport and culture. Obviously, the attraction here is that area is already a very popular area in terms of what it has to offer. It has the Apartheid Museum just up the road. It has the Hector Peterson Museum just up the road. They are putting in a 2010 soccer museum into the stadium. That's on their own grounds. It has nothing to do with us. They're also creating a soccer museum within the stadium. They're also creating a rugby museum within the stadium with memorabilia. And basically what they've come to us and said is, please put your Hall of Fame museum and components in the precinct of Soccer City. Make it part of what we're doing. We think it's a fantastic idea because you've got a national treasure at Soccer City. We've all seen the iconic status that it received during the opening and closing ceremonies of the World Cup. And we'd like to explore that option, and we'd like your guidance in terms of where you think the project can go within that precinct. Having said that, we've got key relationships with various players. Obviously, SASCOC is very important, the South African Sports Confederation Olympic Committee. They're very, very pro us, and they have basically undertaken to give us their support for the 80 sporting codes that they basically govern and administer. They've also approached us. We had a meeting with Gideon Sam recently where they would like to bring their high performance center into the precinct. In other words, where the athletes are can use as a preparation base for what they want to do. Apparently, the decision was to be made whether they were going to move to the old Transnet buildings, which he wasn't too keen on because apparently the facilities are old and need upgrading, which was going to be very expensive. So we have the opportunity here to build into our model the facilities for this committee or for SASCOC to actually have their own premises, their own center of excellence, so that we can continue to produce athletes that will obviously contribute and become future Hall of Famers. The rest of this document really just outlines what we're trying to do. There's one more area I really need to highlight to you, and this is a fundamental principle of what the Hall of Fame is going to be. We have, as I explained to you, included arts, and that means that the Hall of Fame is now the South African Sport and Arts Hall of Fame. And linked to that is what's called the South African Sport and Arts Hall of Fame Foundation. This basically is a Section 21 company, and the sole purpose of this company is basically to invest funding into future Hall of Famers. Now, that funding can cover a multitude of things. Basically, it's to get general public participation. We want to have talent identification programs. We want coaching and mentorship programs. We want to pay the participation costs of people that are talented. The Papuas of this world that didn't have the opportunity to compete will now be given the funding so that he can compete where he's good enough to compete. We want scholarships so that these potential Hall of Famers can actually participate in education, whether it be primary, secondary, or tertiary education. We want bursaries and tuition costs for these people so that they can take their careers further. We want training and mentorship programs for potential future Hall of Famers. Now, mentorship is something very important. You know, we all talk about people and their talent, but you know, think of the wisdom that can be learned from having paid school fees. Think of a nice Werther that played for years in South African rugby, what he could offer the current Springboks in terms of just lessons that he's learned so that we don't have to learn them again. So we feel mentorship for these young upcoming athletes and artists is very important in terms of helping them achieve what they can achieve. We also want to do training and mentorship of coaches, because these are the people that are going to help guide our future Hall of Famers. It's not just about the athletes and the artists themselves. It's about the people that are going to teach them to be what they can be. This is basically going to become a memorial or a shrine that every South African can be proud of, every South African can visit, and every South African can be a part of, in terms of you know, going and checking the legacy, going in. You know, I'm not sure how many of you have envisaged the Hall of Fame, but let's take Papa. What will happen in the Hall of Fame is somebody will come into the museum. There'll be a display of any of his memorabilia that we can get our hands on, hopefully the trophy or some of his golf clubs. There'll hopefully be a touchscreen TV where people can touch and a picture will come up of him. It'll list his accreditations. It'll tell him where he was born. It'll tell him about the difficulties that he faced trying to play the game in a time in apartheid when he couldn't play the game, and how he overcame adversity and actually managed to win the three tournaments that he did win. So it's a real education legacy project that we're trying to build here. Now, we need your help in Knysna to help take that process forward in getting the RODs that we require. We need your guidance in terms of our model in Gauteng, taking the concept to either Serengeti or to the Soccer City precinct. And we want your support. We would like you to take our hand in this project and take it forward, because I think everybody can see the benefit that this can bring to the people of South Africa.
Yeah, thank you very much, Art and Wanda. Thank you very much. Honourable members, I'm going to give you an opportunity to add clarity on the entire presentation and anything that has been presented, and then NAF will be in a position to answer that, and the gentlemen accompanying me. But quickly, Donald Lee?
Chairperson, yes.
It's a pity that you're only coming back to us now about the problems that you are having in the recent cases. Last year, the DA is in charge of the problems that we have done. A lot more in a year than we could get right in the previous years. But that time aside, Chairperson, now, how will this, you know, I'm sort of fascinated by the idea that you want to, it will be a replication of the thing. In other words, what we will have in this one, we will also have in the other one.
No, I
hear that you it will be water sport in the Naima area. But you see, I want all South Africans to see the same thing. If they go into this thing, and I don't want it in Serengeti. I won't support Serengeti. I will support Soccer City because of the history and because of the people living there. You understand? Take the sport of people. Take the guy who are champions to the people, to all people to see. Take all champions to them. In other words, South Africa is a nation of champions. Black, white, green, brown champions. They must be seen there and be respected. In other words, what will the costing be, the impact on costing be between Soccer City and Serengeti now? Now, would it be more expensive in Soccer City, or... That is the question. Then, there was something really important. Getting old. But that to me is important, but really, if I want to support Chairperson, an area, I'll go for something. And the Congress of the People.
Thanks, Chairperson. North David, extremely impressive, you know, the goals and objectives of the Hall of Fame. You know, when I lived in the States for a while, and I see what the Hall of Fame has done for people who have been involved in sports and the recognition they've got, and justifiably so, fantastic. And I think in our country, with the historical context of what we're trying to achieve, this will also heal a lot of wounds of the past, and I think this is a fantastic initiative. Just a couple of questions. Interested to know who that first world champion was in 1998. We spoke about a lot of future Hall of Famers, but I'd like to discuss existing Hall of Famers, and I'd assume someone like Baby Jake could be one of those or about to be one of those. And the social problem that's befallen Baby Jake, does your do some of your objectives take into account that some of our legends have fallen on tough times, and maybe there can be some guidance or help, because there's nothing better than your peers recognizing you in good and bad times, and having a little bit of social upliftment there. So I just want to ask you about that. The Soccer City, I agree with Donald entirely. I think that's a very appropriate and accessible point of departure. And then where does the bulk of your funding come from? Because clearly you're going to talk to corporates, I'd imagine, but are you also looking at governments, provinces? And then finally, Donald made a point which I think was very relevant, and it did bother me. When you talk about Knysna, if we're just talking water sport, it would be nice if visitors to Knysna or Soccer City or wherever these mini Hall of Fame statues are, or places of remembrance are, or museums, whatever you want to call them, is that people could actually access all of it, even if it's a smaller version, to take into account everything. So if you go to Knysna, it might be water sport in the main, but also nice to access rugby or judo or horse riding or whatever the case might be. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Acting Chair.
Let me appreciate this presentation to the committee. Maybe I would just complete it by saying, in our new team, this is the first time that we meet you. And we know that you have been coming for some time. I would love to have more information on the project, because this is an update from the previous input. The better part of us here surely are relatively new in this term of office. And as such, we would want to have more information. For instance, your composition of your structure. I know the objectives are very clear in terms of your the composition of your structure and the representativity, because I understand also you speak of representativity there, and more of that. And secondly, the question of the indigenous sports, are you including it here now that you've identified 80 different sporting codes and so on? I'm sorry for because I might seem to be repeating, yet we are not part. But we know the idea and we support it fully in terms of the role of the youth, because in any country, it should have its own heroes and heroines to be harnessed for that. The third aspect for me would be, because I can see it shifts from Knysna to Gauteng because of the logical reason. But helping Shepherd in the... I would have loved to see a situation where, yes, there is this national wall of fame at the central point in Gauteng, but all provinces should be involved in terms of having their own provincial or regional wall of fame, because there are those local sporting codes where people rise to become provincial championships at that level. So that, but those that predominantly dominate the national character, well, so that no province will be left behind. And the other issue for me is would be the our involvement to collect that data. Maybe if you are closed, I'm not sure whether is it already closed or is it still open for submissions based on what we'll be receiving from you, so that we also, if we feel that there are people who have been left out, to check whether they were part of that. I'm just allowed to the area of Craydock in the 18-something, the family of Bahai who used to play sports during those days. So I'm just saying maybe if we can have that list so that to enhance, and also maybe we'll talk to our constituencies to verify and to see whether it's there by mistake that we omit some of those that are supposed to be included.
Mm-hmm.
Especially there are those sporting codes that are not very dominant, like rugby, cricket, and so on. So it's easy to slip the mind, not intentionally. So I'm saying, chairperson, I would like to see those kinds of situation to be part of that. Well, the issue of the funding, I think I'm covered because I was going also to ask that, and to what extent is the role or the contribution by the department being involved, both departments anyway, because I like the idea that us is part of this project, because in my mind I was also having the liberation route. Vis-a-vis identifying the same people, maybe because people might have two caps or three caps, and how to overcome that. He or she will appear on both or on these historical missions. So because the question of art is also very critical, very important, and especially when you bring in Abo Sontonga and others, you know, and so that we can assist. Then my last point, I just want to tell you interaction with the provincial department, both arts and sports, to what extent are they assisting the process? Thank you.
Is there any other member? None. And then you can answer.
Mr. Chairperson, just on a number of issues, I'll take some issues, and Mr. King will take some other issues. Just a little bit of quick background on NISNA. Because when we started the idea, it was like a little bit of a dream that had to be realized somewhere along the line and how we were going to start it. So a lot of people should not really sit on the idea NISNA, and NISNA was the be-all and end-all. Why it was NISNA in the first place is we were going to create a resort. And that was what we came to the Western Cape for, is to approve the resort. But the resort would have given us the Hall of Fame. So you can understand that. Of course, it's quite an expensive exercise. Okay, so we can actually come today to you, Mr. Chairperson, and your committee and say, just give us 100 million and we'll do whatever. And we'll actually make it look very, very smart. And then you're going to tell me, listen, I'm not even paying your plane ticket, so why would I give you 100 million? So all I'm saying by that is, we have to start somewhere. So the members need to understand why NISNA. Everybody thought, oh, it's a white thing. It's got nothing to do with that. It was the resort was going to give us the Hall of Fame. So I think if you understand it that way, then we can relax about NISNA a little bit, okay? And the other one is, the most important thing about a Hall of Fame, it's a never-ending story. That means a lot of South Africans, because that's where we will be quite aggressive in the education about a Hall of Fame. A Hall of Fame means it's honor the people that's done something better than the normal person in a sporting or art fraternity. But the thing is, a lot of people think that if you don't make it this year, you're never going to become a Hall of Famer. To give you a little bit of an example, I actually retired in 1992. And I was only inducted into the International Rugby Hall of Fame in 2006. So it's not like you retire today, even our criteria say. If you retire today, you can only be nominated in 3 years' time. Because we know, especially the people from the Cape, if Skolberger retires today, everybody would say tomorrow he should be a Hall of Famer. In 3 years' time, for argument's sake, the emotional side is subsided. And then it's all about, did he achieve to become a serious Hall of Famer or not? And I think that's what we need to understand. So that's why we've taken everything in consideration to make sure it's not an emotional thing. It's actually a little bit more on research. The research actually just making sure that the people that really achieved something special, as one of your members actually mentioned, being in America they talk about two things in sport. You are the Hall of Famer, or you're not a Hall of Famer. That's how their whole sport fraternity works. And hopefully through this whole process, that is what we can actually put on the table. It's not because of the ones that already achieved. But remember now, there's so many little youngsters coming through the system. And somewhere along the line, they need, I believe, a little bit of extra motivation. Normally, if you talk to a little youngster now, he says, I would like to play for the Proteas, like to play for Bafana, I would like to play for the Springboks. That should actually be more stepping stones to become a Hall of Famer, and not the end all. So the box is only part of it. Bafana is only part of it, okay? And then the other thing is the sad part, and I think that's why we're here today. The sad part is we've been combating so many problems to get a start somewhere. That's why we're actually here today. To say, please, and now with a little bit of assistance, can't we just move forward now? And I think for what we're doing actually up north a little bit more is getting us closer to the starting gate at the moment. But it's more, you know what, provincial governments aren't involved. Because we haven't really got started yet. That's the whole problem. So we need to also address that and say, you know what, it's not like we haven't done it. And Chairperson, you know, because I've been talking to you for, what, many years now, to solve some of the issues. So at least one thing is, what we're fighting for now is to get a home. The Hall of Fame needs a home. And as soon as it's got a home, that's when everybody else will be included in the whole process. From every young public, to provincial, to government, to everybody else. I hope that clears up a number of issues.
Just to carry on from where Nas left off, just to answer the questions as they were systematically raised, perhaps I didn't portray what the Hall of Fame was going to be very clearly. The idea is that it would be the same everywhere. There's a museum component where people will be able to touch and feel their heroes. Okay, so it's not like you're going to have a situation where in Knysna we only recognize the people that contributed to water sports. Not at all. The water sporting events will be held in Knysna, but the museum component will remember all people that contributed to sport and art, okay? Okay, now, the second question on the roster here was Soccer City and the cost. Soccer City for us is a much, much more feasible opportunity simply because they would give us a 99-year lease on the land. The land that is there is already flat. It's currently a car park. It is serviced, it has electricity. In other words, we can move bulldozers in and start building tomorrow. That's a fundamental difference to any other place that we have on the table at the moment. Nas can give you the answer about the champion in 18...
Your first world champion was actually Lawrence Mankies in cycling. And he's also been inducted last year. And the interesting fact there is we couldn't find the living relative. That's how far back. Krom Hendricks is another one. Baby Jake was mentioned, and as soon as we get into the process of starting the Hall of Fame, we will definitely address every single one. But it should not only stop, as David said earlier, at a Baby Jake. It should actually be there for everybody else.
See, just to answer the question about Baby Jake, and everybody is very... saddened by his current situation, and unfortunately a lot of our sporting stars do come from a social environment where perhaps they're not as street smart when they achieve something in sport and achieve some financial security. So part of our process is a twofold thing where we want to have mentorship programs where that young kid that is going to be a Hall of Famer learns some of the basics in life before he gets to become a champion. So in other words, let's teach him the values and the... I spoke of mentorship earlier. That becomes a very important part of trying to identify and taking these kids forward in a program. Once the foundation, the Sasol Foundation is up, one of its responsibilities will be to look after Baby Jake and the likes of those wherever possible, because they are stars and we would like to look after them. Is it our mission to go into this project to look after people that fall on hard times? No. But obviously they're part of a fraternity and we'd like them to be looked after in that capacity. Funding, I think somebody brought up, it's a never-ending story. Does government, regional, provincial government, or anybody, has anybody offered to help? The answer is no. Would they help? If they would, it would be fantastic. Because as Nas said, if we can kick this off, and by consensus around the table, it seems like there's a lot of support for Soccer City. if we can go to a national monument like Soccer City and actually start to erect the museum and start to take the process forward, the Hall of Fame then has a home. From there, it becomes very easy for us to go and say to the provincial government in Mpumalanga or anywhere else, let's build this thing in your province and let's bring it to the people here. But we have to start this process and we have to have a home. We're looking for the support to do that. Indigenous sports was brought up. What Nas said is very valid here. You've got a situation where all sports will be remembered and taken into account. As he rightfully said, you know, another great example in America where it is the Hall of Fame is something just inherent in the way people think. Michael Jordan was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame last year. And I think anybody sitting around this table, even if you've never turned on a TV and watched sport, will know that Michael Jordan is probably the greatest athlete or one of the greatest athletes that's ever lived. And he was only inducted last year. So the point is that we've got research teams looking at every facet to bring in people that we may miss. We would love to open up to the provinces where people can recommend. You know, perhaps we miss something and somebody comes in and tells us about a sport that was held in Craddock in the Eastern Cape and we didn't know about it. The whole point of this exercise is to put those people on the map so that future generations will remember what they did in terms of their... Arts is a very important component and like you correctly said, there's going to be an overlap between sports and arts in certain instances. Art is a lot harder for us to recognize simply by its nature. Sport is very easy. Did you play sport? Did you represent your country? Did you win something? How many test matches did you play for your country? Or how many soccer internationals did you play or whatever? It's a very tangible thing. Art is very difficult. How do you recognize? As I said earlier, Charlize Theron is easy. She sits there with an Oscar. It's simple. But what about that person that made pottery in a rural area that's now sold in a New York art gallery? It's much harder to define. So what we've done is we're going to go to peers from that area. We're going to go to specialists and to journalists and people that live in that sphere and get their input in order to get the recognition that these people need. I think we've systematically answered your questions. If I've missed anybody's question, please just raise it again and I'm happy to answer it, please.
Yes,
okay.
Small
question, but I think I asked also about the structure.
Yes, okay,
no,
sorry,
we'll forward that.
We'll send you as much information as we have. The structure at the moment, just to give you a broad overview, there's two components to the Hall of Fame. There's a commercial company that's basically going to do the construction with whoever partners. This is a company that is currently being established, and the idea is it will partner with the necessary team players to make the project happen, whether it's a construction consortium, whether it's SASCOC, various different entities. We have to find the correct partners. On the foundation side, this is very much where the funding is going to come from and very much where the investment is going to go back into the community and to look after future Hall of Famers. That is going to have representation from the various components. SASCOC will have members on the selection committee and there will be representative people from each and every component that is the Hall of Fame. So out of sport, out of art, out of journalism, etc. So it's going to be very representative.
Okay. Is there any other question, member? None. Okay. Now, one thing that the parliamentary liaison officer of the new minister is sitting here. He's going to convey this message to the minister. This Hall of Fame, because the new minister is a new minister, has not got a view of this Hall of Fame. It is important that the new minister must be briefed and then understand the Hall of Fame so that he must be able to support the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame, whilst you're saying correctly, a Hall of Fame, if you recall, is a private initiative that needed the government blessing because government could not have resources to can establish the Hall of Fame. You're right when he said that if there was R100,000 to can give it to you, then government got the full control of what is going on there, then it was going to be right. But government is not in a position to do that. But government was sitting in a situation where whatever means that government can assist you so that you establish this Hall of Fame for the people of this country, that all of us grace this important, noble idea of the Hall of Fame.
it's critical. And the ASEAN culture minister also would have to come to the equation, because Osbeck Mambazo and all those are part of the ASEAN culture, Brenda Farsi and all those. And then so that at least you become part of the ASEAN culture to know that there is somewhere where the history of these people is recorded. Now, it cannot be somewhere where the history of the people is recorded, it's only through the writers who are going to sell books to us. But where a person can walk in there and get that history, we don't have that kind of an institution. That institution of the Hall of Fame is that kind of an institution where you walk in, then you get exactly what it is said, and then who plays the role in art and culture and sports, and then at what level. It's very important. But one thing that I want you to also to will assist you in this one. President Mbeki had honored your Hall of Fame at some stage, and then I was very grateful for President Mbeki. But now we have a president now, Zuma, who I know, he was in the summer award in KwaZulu-Natal for the arts and culture, and that is almost anywhere. And Wallace Rode, who was a very key person that the minister has referred you to him around this Hall of Fame, would be another person that would be able to assist in making sure that in one induction of the Hall of Fame, the president must have a statement around that Hall of Fame for all of us to be able to follow this Hall of Fame. And then I think that we must move to that direction. Then you will see the Hall of Fame beginning to be a popular and the alpha and omega of everybody wants to his name to be on the, in the Hall of Fame, and then in South Africa. For the provincial and national department, now, as you stated it, the national department had no position to be able to release resources on this noble idea. Maybe in the later stage, when all the challenges that are facing the country are almost a little bit down, or there's somewhere where this can be done the other way around, then government can play a role like in any other state-owned enterprise in this country. So are provincial governments. But I was just disappointed that for so many years, I think it started in 2001, if I'm right. Because in 2001, when you started this idea, which was born by President Mbeki in a flight, and then I started chairing that committee that time from Water, Affairs and Forestry, 2001. And this is where this concept started. And this concept was done very well, and then the land was acquired. Now there, I can tell you, the provincial politics had messed up this project, because on the ROD record of decision, they were given two hotels which they didn't require, and they were given other things that they was not their responsibility, and they were given even a quarry for them to close that quarry, and then it was very costly for them to do that. And when this matter was taken to Martina van Schalkwyk to assist, and then Tasnim Isop made a decision, but Tasnim Isop made a decision, and 50% of the portion of that land, Tasnim didn't make a decision on it. He had made a decision on something that they would have never have built a resort, would have never even built a Hall of Fame. That's how this NAF ended up in no way about the Hall of Fame. And then I can understand. I don't know how did you survive. You could have long been insolvent for so many years running this Hall of Fame and going up and down and up and down like this. You could have long been insolvent. I can tell you that. I don't know how did you survive the whole thing. But as people are saying, it was our wish that the Hall of Fame should not be in Johannesburg. And we gave you many reasons that when we're building a country, we're not building Johannesburg only. Then we force you to go to Nyasa and say Johannesburg will be a satellite just like any other. But we're back again to Johannesburg. By no means. There's nothing that we can do. If you're able to get what you are going to get when you negotiate with the soccer city, for you to be able to have a home of this Hall of Fame, and then I think I will encourage you to take that route. Because the route that you have taken, where you wanted to build a resort, and that resort must be able to bond the Hall of Fame, could not succeed. And then I will encourage you that you go to Johannesburg and do whatever you want to do there. And even the court, I've seen here on your page, you say papers were lodged with the High Court and the decision was flawed, as the court says, and then there were technical errors there, and there were much more important approved projects than many other things that were done here. And then, one thing that I want to get from you, why didn't the court rule on against the decision of Tasnim and the provincial government? Because the court has found out that there were serious irregularities there. Why didn't he rule and say all what they have made a decision there, it is not what we have requested? Instead, they have done whatever they want to do, and therefore the court would have ruled against that. I just want to know, because since yes, the court found those technical errors and all that, but the ruling, what was the ruling in favor of you, and then, or was the ruling also technical in a way that you could not do anything about the NISNA after that?
Yes. Mr. Chairperson, I think what we then tried to do was to solve the matter in an honourable way and not going actually to court. I think somewhere along the line we've made that call to see if we can solve the problem, staying out of the court scenario, because the court scenario would have actually put us another 2-3 years down the line.
Honourable members, if there is no question, now once more. Thank you very much for giving us this information. I think other members now have an idea of what was conceptualized in 2001, and then up until you battled, up until to 2008, as I recall, and then I'm sure in your last attempt, you will be able to succeed in having a home for the Hall of Fame to assist your induction to be placed somewhere and get a record, and somebody must walk in there and do what it is. But the question that Donald Lee asked, we still want that to happen. If the Hall of Fame is in Johannesburg, exactly a replica, and even in a small scale or in whatever fashion it would be, would plead to you that it must be in provinces. And then see how provinces accommodate that on the concession, give and take, and all that. Because municipalities will say, we'll make a land that is a service available, and then you'll say, we'll build there, and all that. Those kind of conditions are available in different provinces. And then I think that is another thing. But do a replica of the Hall of Fame to provinces so that when I'm in KwaZulu-Natal, I don't want to go to Gauteng. I must walk in there and see exactly what I would have seen in Johannesburg, but seeing it in a little bit different, small scale. Yes, Donald.
Chairperson Nas, and he started, he says, on two scores, really, he said, I want your support. Now, Nas, what type of support do you really need? You know, because when you go out here, and when I go out here, I must know exactly what is expected of us from outside, and exactly what you want. Because the chairperson already indicated to the minister that, you know, that
we'll try and get him to give you an ear. And but are you happy with what you're hearing?
Yeah, it's enough. We want to do the same process that has happened. You remember the minister meeting with the minister Sofile referred you to what is the route and all that. Maybe the new minister too will not oppose the Hall of Faith, but might have other new ideas of now do 1, 2, 3, and 4 as an input on the Hall of Faith. Maybe he's got some other ideas. So you don't have to fear that it's going to be a new thing. No. The minister has started this thing together with you, and then this is running. So it will be a complementary of ideas. And the new minister also must feel comfortable that he has an input on the Hall of Faith. Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chairperson, I think more, you know, talking about support, one thing we did establish is not going to be financial support. And I think you've put it very clearly, and I think it's important for members to understand that it's a private entity. So it's actually more moral support. And also, in a way, that if, for argument's sake, there is a problem somewhere along the line, and we do come back to the committee, because I think it's quite important, and that's why I did say it when I actually started, but maybe it's important to stress it again. It's only, we haven't really come enough to the committee to inform the committee, but it's only because we had to battle the whole time to see when we can actually start something. But I think we're a lot closer now, so we'll definitely inform the committee on a regular basis where we are, how we're going about it. Because one thing, Mr. Chairperson, that's very important from our side, this is not a NAS Buerta Hall of Fame. This is South Africa's Hall of Fame. But you always need, same as your committee, Mr. Chairperson, you always need a person to be the driving force. And I'm only the driving force. I don't select Hall of Famers. I don't decide who's Hall of Famers. So the province people can relax a little bit more. They don't need to worry. There will be province people being inducted into Hall of Fame. But I'm just saying, you know, I'm the driving force. When the support, Mr. Chairperson, is more moral support. And if there is a problem, whatever, along the line going forward, hopefully the committee then can actually assist.
Thank you. Thank you, Nas. Nas, this committee, once more, like last time, assures you on the Hall of Fame that God only the Hall of Fame is what this country needed. It is what the former president, as you say, but the former president dropped it because government could not live up to the challenge in making the Hall of Fame. And we are saying again today, your progress that you have made and the challenges that you have faced on the Hall of Fame, we understand them, but morally and otherwise, where we can, we will be able to help you so that our children and the generations to come must have this legacy of the Hall of Fame that they have to look to. So we definitely will not abandon you. And even if you come a little bit late and then there are problems that are there, and then we're still committed to the Hall of Fame. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks. Honourable members, I've got two announcements for you, please. And then now at 12 o'clock we can walk to the second floor. The our food is going to be prepared there. The second aspect is that we have received the invitation from the former minister. They are making a farewell function for him at the Voda World in Johannesburg Thursday at 6 o'clock in the evening, so that everybody who's ever elsewhere, I have confirmed, because they wanted confirmation for logistics and all that, I have confirmed the whole committee, because I could not say who's not going. Then yesterday, the urgent confirmation was needed, and then I said to Paul, confirm the whole committee. But tomorrow members are going to be here just to arrange, and then leave wherever you live. And then but by 6 o'clock, by 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock,
when you are in Johannesburg, you go into the side of the sunset, at least the traffic is coming in your opposite direction. So it will be better. But if there are arrangements of people who are arriving there that they have to be picked up at the airport, we must make that arrangement and then request from chair of chairs that there should be a transport arrangement made for people to be able to do that. I think I have confirmed for you. The last point, honourable members, whilst you are on holiday now, the members are also DG in conference. Members are also invited on the 21st, 22nd, 23rd of December for the Zone 6 game in Swaziland. 22nd, 23rd, 24th. No, 21st, 22nd, and then for the Zone 6 games in Swaziland. So there are passports required in Swaziland. So don't go there without passport. And the last thing is that January 18th for now. January 18th for now. Committee is going to go to United Kingdom and Argentina. It's going to be a 2-week program. 5 days in United Kingdom, and then we'll put 2 days for members to settle because we will not arrive and run for a meeting there. And then the 5 days we spend in Argentina and come back home. So members must go and arrange their passport because there will be other things that are going to be required in the meantime. So if you don't have those things, don't come to me and tell me you're going to get the emergency passport. They don't even consider an emergency passport in United Kingdom, America, and all that. They don't take it. So they want the real passport because they say you are a Nigerian again, so you are going to be arrested today. So unless members want to ask a question around that, then I'm prepared to answer that question and then so that we finalize it. Comrade Cora?
Yeah, thank you, sir. I just want to raise the issue of don't come like a previous member and say that the Women's League does not need visas to go to this place. The second issue, this issue of the Zone 6 games, how do we travel there? Use your own ticket or is it committee sponsored? I know the Argentina game is going to be committee sponsored.
Yes. No. When you want to go to Swaziland in Johannesburg, you will not get a flight because it's just a driving distance. People who stay in Mpumalanga, they eat breakfast in Mozambique and they eat lunch in Swaziland, they eat supper in Gauteng. So all of you, if you are able to fly with your own flight ticket to Johannesburg and then to Swaziland, you're not going to be required to fly there. They're flying with a very little so don't even bother to fly there, and then you will drive to go to Swaziland. Is there any other thing, honourable members, again? Going. Honourable members, but we'll talk when you arrive there on the lunch. Just to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and then rest at home. Nas Buddha, thanks very much. Eh?
Thank you.
Take care of your...
Yeah, I have. No, not...